This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That's the number to call in if you'd like to get in on our conversation or bring up whatever you want, change the topic, it doesn't matter. It's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And since this is a open phones talk radio show, I'm going to go straight to the phones. We have Major Payne in Michigan. Major Payne, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, y'all. Yeah, first I wanted to touch on the whole marijuana pot thing, but of course I can delve off into mushrooms and peyote and the spiritual world as well, because as you know, I'm long in the tooth. I got many. But so as far as Nikki mentioned this, I noticed I've been smoking tobacco and pot for better than 50 years. Well, just about 50 years, though, I guess. Yeah, one more. I started when I was 12. But anyway, I never noticed until I got older that cigarettes would upset my stomach, especially when I didn't have no fuel in the tank, so to speak.
Yep.
But marijuana pot would settle my gut, and it still does. When I get nauseous, I have a couple, three puffs, and because I don't know if you guys, how much of you people have smoked, but if you smoke and you belch, you will actually puff up some smoke. So a certain percentage of that does go into your gut sac as you're inhaling.
Interesting.
I don't think I've ever had that happen to me before.
Yeah, that's never happened to me before either. One time when I was first smoking, my friend who was like, she had already smoked a lot. We were 15 or she was 14. I don't know. Anyways, she had already smoked a lot. She kept saying like, stop swallowing it. Like, you're trying to swallow it. So I was always just like, okay. Like, and I've just made an effort to try not to swallow it, quote unquote. So, I don't know. I that was like one of the first times I ever smoked. So maybe I've just like drilled that into my head. Like, I've never burped up smoke, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, but the other thing I noticed about reefer was my mind works way too fast. And sometimes, especially when I'm in a project, I'll get three or four steps ahead of myself in my head as far as what I'm actually doing, and then I'll trip over the rock that I'm trying to deal with, you know? So pot slows me down a little bit, and that actually does help me function better as far as not having to go
LRN.FM.
Heard.
Wah, wah.
Well, Major, I know that you most likely won't do it again since you're a regular caller, so I'm not going to dump you. Well, I dumped the call. Like, it's not getting on the air.
Well, I thank you, Bonnie. I've heard you F up a time or three myself.
I've only done it twice. So not three. But
so I ate a quarter ounce of mushrooms once, and that was not good.
What happened?
And ate. Well, it's so bad I'm not even going to transcribe it because I don't even around remember. I remember crawling out of the woods at a festival and begging some teenagers that were walking down the street. All I could get out was, water!
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, no.
This girl looked at me and says, do you care if it's been drunk out of them? Because she's already had a couple of pulls out the bottle, right? And I just looked there and said,
that sounds like a rough time, dude.
But yeah, I mean, too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only time I ever really had a spiritual experience, I think, was on peyote. And I actually saw mescalito. I'm It was a very pristine scenario on the edge of a river, sitting in a forked tree, looking out over the fog, and he come walking at me up over the river, all dressed in the fancy Mexican feather suit, right? But his head was just a fog.
Interesting.
It was a what? Sorry, what was
his head? His head was just kind of like a fog bank. There was no face on the man.
Whoa.
And yeah, it was kind of weird.
This guy was somebody, I didn't know who the guy was you told said he was. He's somebody that wasn't really there.
Mezcalito is the ancient god of mezcaline from Mexico.
Okay.
Wow. It's crazy. Cool.
That's why he was dressed in the Aztec feather suit. I might have been able to see his headdress, but I couldn't see his face.
Wow, that's
and
really crazy.
You were talking about kids being able to perceive things that adults can't. Yes. I remember once, my Uncle Tim died when I was about, I don't know, 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just starting to get in the pot. I was like 12 years old or something. And I'm laying in bed, and I woke up with a start, and he was in the corner of my room. I could hear his voice. I could see just a little floating fog bank. And he talked to me out of the fog, and he just said, "Pat, be a good boy.
Wow.
Do what you know is right." And he was gone.
And you said you were smoking at the time, or?
No. Well, I had just probably started. I mean, I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
I probably got a hold of my first vodka bottle a year before or something, you know?
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I didn't start out stealing roaches out of my parents' ashtray when I was 8 because they were not partakers of such.
Hmm.
Right.
You know, it's interesting that you share that story. I've had, I wouldn't say similar experiences, but I have had very interesting, like, weird, vivid experiences smoking weed before, like, while I was very young, probably, like, 13 years old. There was this one time, I've always really liked vinyls, and a lot of my vinyl collection I've inherited from my father. And I had this, like, really crazy vivid experience where I was listening to maybe Zeppelin 4. It was the first time I had listened to that. I've listened to it before, but I think it was the first time that I listened to it while I was extremely high on marijuana. And I was just sitting in my room, and all of a sudden I had, I don't know if I would call it an outer body experience, but it was almost like I was living in the perspective of my father was in his maybe early 20s. And I literally like almost like mentally transported to my grandparents' basement where I know my dad used to listen to records probably and smoke pot with his friends.
Huh.
And it was almost like for a few seconds, like I became my dad.
Well,
and it was weird. And then later years, at first I was just like, oh, that was kind of cool and interesting and whatever. And then later on, I revisited that memory. And I don't know if, I mean, this is kind of getting woo-woo and getting out there, but I don't know if something about the vinyl record held some sort of memory. And possibly that could have been the last time that my father, like I transported to the memory of the last time that my father had listened to that vinyl.
Well,
he was smoking pot, and like obviously, like, that's my dad. We share DNA.
You're connected to your dad.
You know, so it was, but it was just like a very vivid, strange experience, and like, I know for a fact, like, what I saw, and yeah, it was very interesting. So, yeah, like, not the same, but like, kind of similar, where like, you're young, you're experimenting with things, and you, your imagination, or your creativity, or whatever it is, like, really, or your, I don't know if it's like, connectedness. I don't know what it is, but it's just interesting.
Well, Nikki, you say it's weird that I say that. It's weird that you say that, because shortly after my father's death, I had a visit from him, too. And this was very visual. I mean, I saw it before I was awake.
Hmm.
Give you a little prefix on it. He was a Catholic and had not been to confession for probably 50 years. And I knew there was something haunting him. So I had to take care of him, watch him die of cancer for a year. And when he started getting really bad, I took him to the church. And I begged the priest to give him absolution, which he did. And so the old man died in peace anyway. But about 2 weeks after he was dead, I'm laying on my couch looking out. I got a window that looks right out on my front porch when they come up, you know, to the door. And I know damn well I was asleep when this happened, but I seen him walk in front of the window. And he's wearing this long, tan, you know, slicker and a beige top hat. And I jump up and I open the door. It's like, where the hell do you go? And I know that was a sign because he wasn't all in black and red and scarred that I sent him to the other side. And I did that to another fellow that was a ghost in an old haunted jailhouse out in Yellowstone County. This whole second tier was haunted by this large black man that had been zapped to death by tasers in the shower.
Oh, my God.
There was like, you know, 50 people on this block in two showers. And this was a block where they gave everybody an hour out a day.
Yep.
So 50 people are competing for two showers every day. So this big guy, he finally gets his turn, and they come in and said, back to your cell. And hell, he's all covered in soap and whatnot, can't hardly see. And they just tased his butt to death.
Oh, my God.
And he used to walk the tier. And I seen him walk by my cell one night. Good God, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about this. And I just, I looked, and I says, Lord, I says, let me talk to this man. And I says, Bubba, I know you're haunted. And I says, I want you to think back to the last person that loved you and might have gone to heaven. I says, if you ask them, they will turn on the light. All you got to do is walk into the light.
Mm.
And all the weird stuff stop happening.
That's a beautiful story.
Wow. That's nice that you wanted to help the guy. That's, wow, that's just so crazy. Where did you say that was? What prison?
Yellowstone County Jail out in Montana. Billings, Montana.
Wow.
So crazy.
Worst damn hole I was ever in.
Well, thank you so much for the call tonight, Major Fans. Brings up so many different interesting stories. I love talking like this.
It is interesting because you don't always have these conversations a lot, and it is rare, like, a lot of people who have these experiences. Like, there was even a moment, like, before I told my story about the vinyl where I was like, ugh, should I really say this on the radio? Like, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I think it's really good to just let go. Like, to be honest with you, I don't really care what people think about
me.
And I mean, if my story can make someone else who had a similar experience feel not crazy, then that's a good thing. And I think a lot of us do have these experiences that are, you know, either closer to the veil or whatever, if it's extraterrestrial or if it's supernatural or, you know, whatever, like these uncommon experiences or, you know, out of the ordinary things that cannot be explained. And I think a lot of people do have experiences like this that aren't completely within the realm of things that can be explained. So I think the more we talk about it, the better, because there are probably, even like Matt's Bigfoot podcasts. Matt listens to these Bigfoot podcasts all the time. And there are so many people that write into the podcast and they're like, I've held this with me for over 50 years.
Right.
I have not told a soul because everyone's going to think I'm crazy.
It's crazy.
And it's like so therapeutic for these people who are like elderly to be able to get this stuff off their chest and to just share it with somebody. And I think there's something really, really healing about that, even if you're anonymous or whatever, just to have a place where you can share your story. And, you know, and it is nice that we do have a call-in radio show that we're doing right now where people can call in and kind of bring up whatever's on their mind. And if they wanted to share something like that, they would be able to, you know?
Right, and the number is 603-283-6160 if you want to join us.
Yep, that's
603-283-6160.
Yes, okay. I just looked at the wrong numbers there. That's one thing I really like about my generation. I'm not saying that, like, no one from any older generation has ever been open about spirituality, but when I was a kid, this was, like, my jam at, like, sleepovers. Like, have you guys ever seen a ghost? Have you guys?
Yeah, we did that, too, yeah, when I was a kid.
And for one thing, it makes me wonder how many kids have just forgotten because they didn't have those experiences, like kids without siblings, you know, to be like, whoa, this happened to me last night. Because that is one reason I remember a lot of stuff from my childhood is I had a million siblings. So I would just be like, I would tell them things and then I would remember the conversation and the experience and they would remember, so they would be like, oh, remember that? You know, it helps you remember a lot of things. So I wonder if kids that, like, didn't have siblings or just didn't have friends that were open with talking about that type of thing with them just forgot about experiences they had as kids.
I mean, and there were some experiences that, so me and my best friend Katie used to, like, you know, go on walks at night, go through graveyards, play with Ouija boards. Like, we would just do stuff like that. And there were a few experiences that I didn't, I have a very poor memory. And I would have experiences where, or she would remind me of experiences. And yeah, so like if you don't have somebody to kind of go back and forth with and either jog your memory or like keep it fresh in your memory, like me and Katie talk about this Ouija board experience we had like almost every time we see each other, you know, so, but if I didn't have her and maybe that happened to me alone, maybe I wouldn't have, you like, remembered it as vividly.
The other thing is, I just think, like you said about the Bigfoot podcast, I've mentioned that before because Matt got me to start listening to them, and it always blows my mind how many people say, I didn't tell anyone. My mom, I did first tell my mom, she told me, don't ever talk about this in your entire life.
Yeah.
It's like, that sounds so alien to me because my parents would totally listen to me about something like that. And I feel like I've never had a friend that would just laugh me out of town about it. And I just think that it's kind of a thing that maybe it was like, it was worse to seem crazy when our great grandparents were alive because, you know, it would cost you a job. You know, it's not Christian, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about dogmatic religion is it creates this box where every experience has to be put into, and if it doesn't fit that box, it's against God.
It's not true. It's like, I am interested in what is true. I'm not interested in ignoring things that I see right in front of me because it doesn't fit in with what I think.
Right.
Well, and it is so easy to, you know, to have an experience and just write it off as something else. You know, like if the light flickers, one person's going to say it was a ghost, and one person's going to say, oh, it was an electrical short. Whatever the truth, I mean, there is a real concrete truth of what happened in that moment, but, you know, it's whether you're willing to investigate it or, you know, just go based off of your, like, the first thing that, you know, your initial instinct.
And it's just so silly to me that, like, the light flickering is, like, maybe not the best example because lights can totally flicker. Say there was no reason that the light flickered and it was really a ghost. The thing is, there are some people that won't even look at that possibility because the other one is more likely. And I just think that's so silly to cut out all possibilities and only look at what is most likely.
Well, it's scary.
Right.
A lot of the unknown is scary. So a lot of people just... It's safer to come up with an explanation for things, you know, like, and if you're determined enough, like I've had some experiences that I could not explain that with literally anything else. Like it had to be something that I could not understand. But people, if they are determined enough, they will get very creative and come up with something or even just say, I don't know what it was, but it was definitely not something that, you know, like a ghost or whatever.
Yep, I just don't get that. I'm not saying those people shouldn't be able to live their lives that way or anything. It's just, I just think it's so fun to talk about, like, the unknown.
I think so, too. I think it's fascinating to explore these topics because, you know, nationally syndicated radio shows like ours on talk radio don't talk about them typically unless it's late-night talk radio like Coast to Coast.
Have you had any type of experience like that, Riley? Like, you're sober and
No, not happens? When I'm sober, interestingly enough. I've had strange experiences while on cannabis or mushrooms, but nothing when I'm sober, strangely enough.
Any interesting story?
I've had ancestors visit me while on mushrooms. I've had experiences like that. I've had experiences where, you know, dead loved ones or dead relatives came to visit, too.
They bring you a feeling of love or anything
like
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Bring me a feeling of love. Bring me a feeling of peace. I felt like I connected with them in the afterlife, and the story they were telling about the afterlife did not match what I thought the afterlife was. It just seemed like, hey, we know the truth of the story, and the story you've been telling yourself about life is wrong. just be okay with embracing a new story.
That is so beautiful. That's really great. One time when I was on shrooms, kind of changing the subject back to psychedelics since we are reading a story about it, it's not like I heard words or a voice in my head. It's just a knowing, and you can't really understand that feeling unless you experience it. But I kept having these nonstop flashbacks to, like, everything that has ever happened to me all at once. And it was, like, almost distracting. Like, I wanted to not have that be happening. But all of a sudden, when I kind of leaned into it, I had this feeling that just told me, in a way, without words, everything that's ever happened to you in your entire life, like, that's why you're being shown all these things, everything that's ever happened to you in your entire life, I was there. You were in me, this. And that's why I believe in God. It was like, you were never unsafe. You were always taken care of, and this moment, you're supposed to be here, and I've helped you get here.
Yeah,
that's really beautiful.
And, I just love psychedelics. I'm not even a person who wants to do them a whole lot. Like, sometimes I just feel like I need some... I don't even know how to explain it, like,
some
when
reset.
You want to do it.
That's how I would describe it. Sometimes I just need some reset.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think, like, certain things, like... I don't know if I would necessarily ever do something like acid again. I don't know. I just feel like I've gotten all I needed to get from LSD, and I've had such big experiences with that. So I almost feel like I don't even need it anymore. I mean, I'd be open to doing it again, but there's just certain stuff where when you receive the message, you receive the message. And sometimes you can overdo it.
Oh, yeah.
I find mushrooms to be a little bit more gentle than LSD.
Oh,
you know, they don't last as long for me. They're kind of easier to get because you can grow them. They feel more natural. And, you know, you can just eat, like, one little piece of a mushroom or microdose. They call it microdosing. They even sell, like, mushroom chocolates now that you can use to microdose.
Liquid.
And I know a lot of people who will do that instead of, like, say, smoking pot. But, like, I'm just hanging out with my friends, or I'm going to the bar and I don't drink, or I'm going to a concert, whatever. And they, you know, I had a friend who told me a story about her microdosing on mushrooms and then going to a comedy show. And she just had the funnest, laughing and giggling. And it was just, it really amplified her experience, which isn't maybe necessarily a psychedelic experience, but it was still a very positive experience.
Yeah, and
for
experiences
her.
Like that are definitely positive for sure. That's also very important.
Well, we're going to get back into your calls and talk more about this article. This has been Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. And hold on, because we're coming right back.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's refusing to back down in the face of a Justice Department lawsuit over that floating border wall.
Texas is going to take this case all the way to the United States Supreme Court to defend the rights guaranteed to us in the United States Constitution.
The system of buoys continues to float in the Rio Grande River near the border town of Eagle Pass. It's meant to deter illegal immigration, largely for their own safety. The DOJ lawsuit alleges the floating wall violates the rules that ban anything that affects the flow of the water. A study has found American workers will take lower pay for more benefits. The University of Oregon worked with researchers at Harvard and the Rand Corporation to study worker opinions on this. They found 20% of participants wanted better conditions even if it offered a 40% lower wage. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This talk radio that you control, 603-283-6160. That's the number to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. It's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And I just want to get right into you guys' calls. David in San Francisco, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you talking about psychedelics, and since I live near the Haight-Ashbury, I thought I'd chime in on some of the aspects of it.
And what's that?
I'm not too alike.
Sorry.
Beg pardon?
What is the Haight-Ashbury?
Oh, well, that's a famous place where it all began in San Francisco back 56, almost 60 years ago, in the Haight-Ashbury, the Haight Street where it meets Ashbury.
Okay.
Street. And the you know, Timothy Leary and Ram Dass and
yeah, Grateful Dead,
Terrence McKenna.
Sure, yeah, yeah, and yeah, Terrence McKenna. As a matter of fact, I was trying to remember his name. So I went to a lecture a couple of years ago. People were talking about the how the Haight fell apart And the issue came up that in the earliest days of the use of psychedelics, people were interested in spirituality and expanding their minds, in forward motion, growth, you know, such as that. But, and so the people that actually made things like LSD and some of the other, chemical formulas used it themselves. And they were not interested in passing out a bad batch. And the idea that sometime later there were profiteers that came in there that would come up with a bad batch. You know, in the movie Woodstock, they say, don't take the brown acid. You know, so there were profiteers that were either sloppy in their work and they didn't care whether they made a bad batch. They were just interested in making a buck. And, so that was one of the themes of this discussion, that the Haight-Ashbury got kind of overrun with profiteers, who then, when they started coming up with bad batches, then they started coming up with barbiturates, speed, a variety of different chemicals, and that were really nothing more than things that were going to knock you, you know, flat on your face. So whether it was like a Mickey Finn, if you're familiar with that old expression, they give you something to knock you out, and then they'll steal your wallet and maybe Shanghai you into a ship. And the idea that the profiteers were the problem, and it became further exacerbated with, if you've ever studied the Black Panthers, J. Edgar Hoover was really, he was trying to sabotage them, and he got them hooked on heroin. Hmm. And by doing that, he also got, he was trying to get black people hooked on heroin, but he inevitably got white kids hooked on heroin, and that created more fun for the profiteers and more collapse of the Haight-Ashbury and the kind of the joy of the hippie movement. So I just wanted... Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Destroy people's lives for political reasons.
Right, and that's what politicians do. They just love to destroy people's lives anyway.
Yep.
Well, right, and if you read some of the biographies of J. Edgar Hoover, in some ways he knew what he was doing, and in some ways he sort of regretted it. If you know of his history, one of his grandfathers was black, and as a kid, Hoover himself was so light-skinned that he passed. And so he never was seen in a photograph again after the age of 8. He was never seen with his black grandfather again. And, he was also gay, and he was always, in the closet. And so, since the Haight-Ashbury and the hippie movement were interested in integration, expansive living, the gay movement was there, the women's movement, the environmental movement. There were all sorts of different reasons to move forward in life. And J. Edgar Hoover was going to protect the polluters, so he'd crush the environmentalists. He was, you know, women were getting 69 cents on the dollar for what a man made, so he was going to help the corporations crush the women's movement. Hmm. And he was there to crush the gay movement because organized crime was blackmailing you if you were gay. And that became a huge income stream for organized crime. And if people were out, then they would no longer be blackmailed.
Wow.
And so when you
Sorry, I just hadn't really thought about that. Like, I've always just been like, why was there such a just hatred for being gay? Like, it's so mm-hmm. abnormal to me because it was normal.
The religious propagandists telling you that being gay is a sin and evil and it's going to destroy society because people can't have kids.
Both things, you know.
Well, they did. That propaganda was there, but that was how they blackmailed you. And as a matter of fact, if you read, there are a number of books about abortion, if you had an abortion, you were very likely to be blackmailed, or your husband, or your lover, or your brother or sister, or anybody in your family could be blackmailed because you had, you know, a woman had an abortion, and organized crime loved it. And if you read, I think Bob Woodward wrote a book about the ruling, the Roe v. Wade ruling on abortion. The book is called The Brethren, and he alludes to the blackmail that came with abortions. And that there were generals, you know, a general might have a mistress and he got her pregnant. He didn't want anybody to know. The general could be blackmailed.
Wow.
And, organized crime was ending up with top secrets through blackmail. And so it became so bad for the economy to have so much blackmail. You know, there might be a factory owner that had a mistress, or even his wife that had an abortion, and the factory owner would have to give his profits to organized crime. And so the economy was being decimated by organized crime and blackmail. And that's why, to this day, I really suspect that this anti-abortion movement is really led by blackmail. Because when you start hearing about, you know, what is said in the confessional, and then all of a sudden people are blackmailed about what they said in the confessional, then all of a sudden the economy shifts to organized crime and extortion. You start looking at...
Thank you for the call, David. I just wanted to kind of reel it back in, because, you know, this is all really interesting. I am really interested. But I just kind of wanted to reel it back in. I just want to ask you, have you ever had any mystical or spiritual experience yourself?
Oh, sure. Yeah, as a matter of fact, my dad used to make his own beer and wine. And from the age of 5, I was helping him siphon beer into the bottles, you know. And so I kind of felt grown up as a 5-year-old. But after a while, I realized it was not a pleasant high. It wasn't a fun thing. And when I got to be 12 or 14, I had learned about walkabout, you know, the Native Americans and Australians. You know, when you went from a teenager to a young man, you had to kind of prove yourself to yourself and do a walkabout. And part of that, you know, Native Americans did peyote. And so I tried peyote before I did weed. And I think I even did acid before I did weed.
Wow.
And so it was based upon, you know, enlightenment and spiritual growth and walkabout as when I did it first. I quit drinking when I turned 16. You know, took a few drinks in years later, but I really seriously gave it up when I turned 21. And, so it's been a, you know, it's always a thing about enlightenment and growth rather than the profiteers who want to cash in on your life and keep you stupefied.
Yeah. And well, thank you so much for the call, David. That's very interesting. And I think that that's one of the reasons that the government hates things like mushrooms, because they're trying to, but really they shouldn't be able to patent it.
Right. And they can. It would be really hard for a government to tax something like weed or mushrooms. I mean, they could. They do with tomatoes, but that only comes if someone's selling the tomatoes. But if someone's growing tomatoes or someone's growing cannabis or mushrooms, they can't tax that.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what they don't want, is the, you know, black market of it, so to speak, where people are, you know, cultivating these things on their own. They don't want that. They want people to be dependent on the dispensaries. They want you to be dependent on the grocery stores. So you can buy all of these things. You're not buying them from your neighbors. You're not growing them yourselves. You have to go to the approved store, buy them, and pay taxes on all this stuff. Like, yeah. This is what they want.
And also, they want to keep us poor. Like, how much more money would you be making if you had marijuana growing in your basement and, you know...
Yeah, exactly. And not even just that. I mean, I think, and I, forgive me, I don't remember the exact order of the drug schedules, but I'm pretty sure things like weed and mushrooms and LSD are higher on the drug schedule than things like heroin. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I think you might be right.
Regardless, even if I wasn't right, like the fact that they're even on like a scheduled drug,
yeah,
is ridiculous.
The fact that marijuana is like number, it's one, like
yeah, like
the
that's
worst one.
It's crazy, it's and I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, like during the acid test, I mean, like the government and all of these scientists were doing very, very extensive research on LSD and the effects of LSD. They would take like some average housewife and just give her like 100 hits of acid.
Yep.
And, you know, she's, you know, like tripping very, very hard. But they realized very quickly, you know, especially, you know, before LSD was criminalized, like, you know, you had the culture in San Francisco with the Grateful Dead and people just taking these substances. And I think very early on they realized that things like mushrooms, LSD, and marijuana expand your mind. And there's a whole thing where, you know, and inventors and business people in Silicon Valley who are billionaires, like, they microdose on LSD, and, right, like, that's where they come up with their inventions and their all of their, like, billion-dollar ideas. So there, you can use these things as a very powerful tool to become very successful and very enlightened and happy, and they don't want that.
And you may even realize when your imagination's in that state that there's no reason to keep living the way you've been living every day.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for the government.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people are coming to these epiphanies when they're doing things like pure LSD.
Sure.
So they want people to be on the pharmaceuticals. Oh, you're depressed. Don't take mushrooms. Don't expand your mind. Don't go to a concert. You know, don't go to a spiritual retreat. Take this Lexapro. Take this Cymbalta. Take these antidepressants. And I don't want to poo-poo those too much because they do have a place for certain people.
Yeah.
And they can be very helpful. But I think there is absolutely an over-prescription of pharmaceuticals. And then there's the whole conspiracy with the CIA pushing heroin and fentanyl and, you know, all of that thing. And who knows if all that's true. But either way, you know, they don't want us to be doing mind-altering substances that are going to make us smarter and more creative and more successful like that, because that's not going to give them more money and more power. It's absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm going to say that if you're hearing the show and you're not sure if mushrooms are right for you, that's okay. I'm not advocating that everyone should go out and take mushrooms tonight. I think you got to really be dialed into your body and be like, do I really want to do this? Because, you know, these things are going to bring up things that you've never looked at, or they might traumatize you, and you have to be prepared for both experiences.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was going to say, they definitely destroyed a lot of people's minds with MKUltra giving people way too much acid, because, you know, they weren't ready for it. They didn't know what they were going to expect.
And also, like, I couldn't imagine, I don't think I've ever taken more than 10 hits of acid. I could not imagine what it is like to take 1,000 hits of acid. Like, they were giving these people insane amounts of drugs. Like, I couldn't even, like, I think most people that took that amount, I mean, could maybe be fine, but you're going to experience things that you can't unexperience, or you're going to be what they call permafried,
right,
where you've just taken too much of a substance. I mean, like, moderation is key with everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And I do think Riley's disclaimer is very, like, responsible and important for us to say, because these substances aren't good for everybody. You know, like I said, you know, I can acknowledge all of the wonderful benefits of marijuana and also say, like, yeah, that's not for me. I've tried it several different strains in several different settings. It's just not a good fit for me anymore right now. And, you know, I still respect other people and I still respect the healing properties of the plant medicine. But that doesn't mean that I need it in my life. And I think the same can go for literally anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I never have, and I don't think I ever will take acid. There was just something about it. Like, I've heard, like, since I was really young, my friends telling me what it was like for them, and it just didn't appeal to me at all. Also, I may have been really imprinted on, I don't know, influenced by the fact that two of my friends did acid together, and I don't know, one of them just had a really bad time and threatened the other one with a knife. So I always felt like, oh, you can't control yourself on acid. Now I've learned it's not really that way. Like, he was just having some kind of crisis, but
yeah,
that made me really scared to try it. And I'm kind of glad I never have, because everything that I've heard, it just sounds like mushrooms are better. I prefer natural things, and for it to not last 12 hours.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I think moving forward into anything with fear or with any of those, like, preconceived ideas or notions, it can, I mean, and, like, that's a huge thing when people are tripping, like, your mindset, like, the most important things are, like, environment, who you're with, and your own personal mindset. Like, if you're not in a... If you have anything that's, like, kind of, like, making you worried or holding you back, it can also cause it to be more anxiety-producing. Not necessarily. I know people who have been in a horrible mood, and they're with terrible people, and they drop acid, and they have a great time. There's just so many different factors, and I don't know. I don't think it's, like, necessary for every single person in the whole world to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, if you have schizophrenia or have schizophrenia in your family, maybe you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. So, you know, just go with, think about it, go approach it with caution.
Yeah.
It is a tool.
I mean, everybody should definitely do a lot of research on all the things we're talking about tonight, because all three of us are people who have done a lot of research on those things. Nikki is a nurse. Riley is like a full-on psychonaut.
I don't know if I'd describe myself as a psychonaut. I mean, I've dabbled, but I wouldn't call myself a psychonaut. I don't want to have a career as a psychonaut. I just like taking these things as spiritual tools.
Right. Well, either way, everything that I've done, I did research on. I love the website Arrowhead. That was like my favorite thing to do just in my free time in high school. I just go on Arrowhead and read experiences and just read about different drugs. But anyways, yeah, definitely do your research before just jumping into anything like that. But this is a call-in open phone show, so I'm going to go back to the phones. We have Sarah on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes, I just want to bring up another stupid thing that we're doing here in the South Valley, and they put in three roundabouts, and the drivers are plowing, driving right through it.
Like, oh my God! What you're supposed to do with a roundabout?
You mean like through the middle?
That's correct.
Oh
yeah,
my
wow.
Are there like signs there? Because I mean, I understand if someone's never seen one before, but I mean, typically it's very clear that there is almost, I wouldn't necessarily call it a median, but something similar, like in the middle of the roundabout or the rotary. And it's usually pretty clear that you do not just drive straight through it. I don't know if these people are impaired
or just
and they're not paying attention. But it's pretty obvious. And I've also seen signs, at least up here, where especially if it's like a two-laned roundabout, that it will kind of almost like a road sign that's a picture of it.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
They are not common in New Mexico or in Texas. Or anywhere else that I've ever lived before I moved here, they're very common in New Hampshire. But listen, no one is doing that on accident. Like, you would have to be just like, F this roundabout
or
to
impaired.
Go through the middle. Or impaired.
Like they were hammered or something.
Well, I don't know. The roundabout that they put here is kind of like they just have a little signs, and it's kind of circular, flat piece in the like a smooth piece. So that is the attitude that the South Valley part of the county is like kind of like known for like a lot of shootings and a lot of dope dealing that not so smart people are kind of living down that way. And so this is the kind of attitude. And then so their solution is they spent like $4 million to put in the roundabout.
Wow.
Now they want to spend more money to turn it into a four-way. So they could T-bone each other at, like, 3 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
That's the solution.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems like a bad idea. Like, I don't know why they would keep throwing money at this issue.
Just put more signs up or something, but paint it
brighter. I'm wondering, are people, like, trying to protest it? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I'm not using this. I'm just going to drive straight through it.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because I just... Even the first time I ever drove up on one, I knew what they... I had seen them on TV. I was like, oh, it's one of these things, and I got to pay attention to know what I'm doing. Like, I don't remember the rules, but I wasn't like, do I just go through the middle? That's stupid. They have to be doing that.
But you know what? This is actually the area that Stephen Quezada, wasn't he in that Breaking Bad movie? He was one of the characters, and he's actually a county commissioner. So I called
He's
him
real?
And left him a voice. Yeah, Stephen Quezada, he was one of the actors that, I don't know what, I never saw that the movie.
It's a show, but I've never seen it either.
Yeah, but he was one of the characters, and he ran for office, and he won. So I left the voicemail on his recording that I want a big, giant granite rock in the middle and put a Zia, like a metal art Zia sign, or Cocopelli, or a Lobo, New Mexico Lobo statue on the middle of it. And that'll stop the protest of going right through.
Is Lobo like that little guy with the hair who's dancing?
Okay, that's a Cocopelli, little flute guy.
Yeah.
Cocopelli, and the Zia sign is the, like a, looks like a little cross with a little, looks like a swastika, but it's like a little cross with a sign.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Lobo is a, it's a Spanish word for wolf. The wolf is a New Mexico Lobo University sign. I would rather see a metal wolf on top of that granite, the metal art, yeah.
Thank you for the call, Sarah. That's pretty entertaining. I don't know. I wouldn't ask them to throw more money at it, really, except paint, maybe.
Well, maybe decorations in a traffic circle or a roundabout might be a good idea sometimes. To make it more beautiful.
Well, those things are really pretty. That's one thing I like about New Mexico is all their ancient culture, their little symbols and stuff. They have really pretty and cool shapes that, I guess, were drawn by the people that live there, and it's like, you know, associated with New Mexico, and you can find, like, shirts and stuff with that on it. But, yeah, that was just kind of an entertaining story from Sarah. We now have Dave Ridley. Dave Ridley, you're on the air. I keep saying on the phone.
Technically, he probably is on the phone.
Yep, you're both. Yep.
Ridley.
So, all the deplatforming, I don't know about everyone else, but certainly leading me towards more and more experimentation, you know, with activism, trying new things, or going back and trying old things. And the new thing that I'm trying, another thing, is, and I haven't really done this before, I call it Disinfector Dave. So I'm just popping out onto, and I'm not doing it very frequently yet, but I've just, you know, been popping out onto the roadsides and cleaning up the litter. I have put out my shingle sort of to say, you know, if you want me to do more of this, you know, I'm happy to take donations. You tell me where you want me to clean. And you maybe pay me after I've done it.
That's a really cool idea.
That's a really cool idea, Dave. I love it.
Do you want to stay on the line?
Yeah, a little more.
All right, we'll be... Well, right. There's more coming up. And it's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. That's the call-in line if you'd like to get in on the conversation.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.